Hello, this is UX Booster, a podcast about user experience design and skills development. Grow your confidence, learn how to design things that work, and get inspired. My name is Wojtek Kutyla, and I hope you'll enjoy the show. After the first episode with Andy, I received a lot of questions from you, so I thought I'll take them back to Andy and let's see what happens. And that's exactly that. Here's Andy Loban talking about UX in business, mentoring, and a couple of other things. Hey Andy, thank you for taking the time. We got so many comments from people who are interested in hearing more that I just could not resist, and I thought I'll talk to you again. So here you are.
Thanks for having me again.
Pleasure. So one of the things that listeners were interested in is mentoring. You've mentioned mentoring as something very important, and I agree with you. But I would like you to tell us more about looking for a mentor, finding mentors, and you know how to choose one and what we should remember about when looking for one. All sorts of thoughts on that subject would be appreciated, please.
Okay, so where to find one? Let's start with that. I think there's a few different options. One is you could try a number of different mentoring websites, some of which you, I believe, linked to in the show notes for this earlier podcast that we did. So there's things like designed.org, and I now can't remember the URLs of the other ones off the top of my head, but I'm sure we can add them into the notes again. There are some which are specifically about UX and all its different flavors. There's some that are for mentors of all different types of jobs, and they have, say, design sections or UX sections or what have you. So that's one option where people have already publicly said that they want to mentor people. So I think that's obviously a good avenue. Another option is to find somebody either in your local community or maybe further afield who you think has had an interesting career, who has maybe said that they might be interested in mentoring. So I don't know if you find, you know, an interview online or you find their website and it talks about the fact that they want to mentor people or those kind of things. I know that a lot of different cities have things like IXDA, Interaction Design Association meetings, and other kinds of UX meetups. And I think that going along to those and making it clear to people that you're looking for somebody to mentor you or to coach you is a useful way to find people. I think putting yourself out there on Twitter or some other, you know, Dribbble or whichever social network you're looking at is another way to say, look, I'm looking for a mentor. Is anyone interested? And I would say potentially just approach people either locally or further afield who you think they've had an interesting career. It's the kind of thing that you would like to go through yourself, the same sort of process, the same types of jobs, that kind of thing. And just be very aware of what you're doing in those situations. So emailing somebody and saying, hey, will you be my mentor, is probably not that useful. Emailing them and saying, look, I'm aware of your career through whatever it is that you've looked at and seems really interesting, and it's the kind of thing I aspire to, and I was wondering if you are interested in mentoring anyone. That kind of thing is obviously a much better approach. But also be prepared that most people will probably not reply to you, because I'm sure, you know, there's a lot of people out there who get a lot of those kind of emails and you can't reply to everything all the time. And then just asking around in your local community is another way to do it. And, you know, putting it out there to other people that you've worked with or that you know from the UX community, and just put the word out that you're looking for a mentor, I think is the useful thing to do. There are also paid services to get mentorship. I'm not aware of any that are specifically UX based, but I'm sure there probably are some out there if you have a look. And then the other kind of mentorship is obviously within a company that you work at, if you have a job in UX in the first place, or if you have a job in a company that has a UX team or a UX designer or something. We have mentored, or maybe not mentored so much, but developed a couple of people within FanDuel who were not designers, and one of them now is a designer and the other one is thinking about what they want to do. But we have one product designer who came from being a QA. So they were a software tester and now they're a designer, and that came through us, them approaching us and us helping to develop their design skills further within the company.
Thank you very much. That's very informative. So obviously one thing that's required to do all of this is to kind of step out from a person's kind of comfort zone, the shell, and to say, hey, I would like someone to mentor me. And I know that's hard to many. I also have that problem. What would you say? How could a person look for someone and then recognize that this is the mentor that I've been looking for?
So I think you probably need to start by figuring out what course you ideally want to take in your UX career. So we talked a little bit about this last time, but if you really want to get heavily into research, for instance, or if you want to be a product designer working on kind of UX UI problems or something else entirely, then those are the kind of things that you probably want to try and figure out first. And that's not to say that you won't change that idea, because I think as soon as you have a job, you start to see other opportunities, or you see that what you're actually doing is maybe not the part that you enjoyed or what have you. But if you're somebody who, for instance, wants to go heavily into research rather than, say, visual design, then obviously you're going to want to look for a mentor who is also someone who's come from research. You probably want to look at whether you ultimately aspire to be a manager versus an individual contributor over time. Like, do you want to run a team, or do you want to be, you know, the best UX designer that you can be and really focus on the craft of that as an individual contributor? So that's another thing that I would look at for in a mentor. If you're somebody who's changing careers, you might want to look at if that person has also changed careers. I can't think of anybody more useful to you as a mentor if you're changing into UX than somebody who did the same thing and did it successfully, because they're going to understand what you're going through and what you're trying to do, what your potential challenges are, more than possibly anyone else will. I would look for somebody ideally who's had a few different jobs. So somebody who's potentially done slightly different types of roles, certainly somebody who's worked in different companies, potentially different sizes of companies or organizations, you know, potentially someone who has maybe worked in public sector as well as private sector, for instance. If you're not sure whether you aspire to a career in, say, public service in the government or something like that versus, say, a private company doing, let's call it, entertainment products or social media or something like that, having somebody who has experience of both of those things is going to be very useful. Same with small companies versus large companies. I think when you're getting into any industry, you don't necessarily know where you're going to enjoy, like what level of company you're going to enjoy. Some people love the startup life. Some people absolutely can't stand it. Some people like a kind of mid-sized company where you have a bit more security and stability, but it's not this big, huge corporate thing. Some people love the corporate life. Some people, you know, there are lots and lots of different options, and having somebody who can help you navigate those things is useful. So that's kind of their career, I suppose. But in terms of their behavior and coaching skills and that kind of thing, you're looking for somebody who's very excited about coaching or mentoring, somebody who can help you think through problems. I think that's the biggest thing. Somebody who can coach you through a problem in a way that they're not giving you all the answers, they're not telling you what to do, but that they will ask you enough questions in the same way that, for instance, as a UX designer or a researcher, you're taught to ask all the right questions to, say, a client or a stakeholder in your company or what have you, where maybe they've come and they've said, well, I need a web page. And one of your jobs as that designer or researcher or what have you is to start asking the right questions to get to the root of what that person actually needs even if they're not really particularly experienced in articulating that themselves. So you can start to find out what the requirements are and what the aim of the project really is, so that you can design something more useful than just, I need a web page. You know, you want somebody as a mentor who is going to do the same things, who is going to say, right, so you want to be a UX designer at a huge company. Why? And okay, talk me through that. And what are your thought processes on that? And what do you expect that company to be like? And what is it about that experience that you're excited about? And okay, have you thought about this other type of job? Because the thing, the kernel of what you're excited about there is also available in something else. And that might be, say, more suited to your experience level, or there might be more jobs available, or you might just potentially enjoy it more. Those kind of things. That coaching aspect. And somebody who can do that well is somebody who I think is going to help you, but is also somebody who's going to get a lot out of that themselves, because instead of just wanting to give you answers and, you know, feel good factor from just, oh, I helped somebody because I told them the answer, it's somebody who gets their energy from helping you through those situations and helping you come to the right answer for you instead.
All right. Yeah. So that sounds complicated. I mean, obviously it's an answer I was kind of expecting. I do have a little bit of experience with mentoring, and it's difficult to find a mentor. It's difficult to be a mentor. I wonder, have you actually mentored people? All of these things, I'm sure, are coming from experience. Can you tell us more about that? How did it go? And what did you do with them? Who were they?
I have done small amounts of it outside of work. So I've had people who have come to me from other people that I know. So somebody has said, you know, I'm trying to get into this industry, and they've talked to somebody that I know, and that person has said, well, why don't you talk to Andy? He might be interested in talking you through some things. So I've done that. I've done a lot of very short-term things like portfolio reviews and talking people through specific problems, or giving feedback on case studies that they're writing for a job that they might be applying for, or those kind of things in other companies. We have a real culture in our team in FanDuel of coaching. Coaching and mentoring, not entirely very linked, but not the same thing. We do a lot of coaching, which is really, really beneficial. We have a big culture of learning and development as best as we can in the company. So we assign different people to help other people gain a specific type of skill. We're trying to develop a proper program around that. So that's more of a, you know, I want to learn about prototyping or animation or presentation skills or something specific, and somebody will help them get better at that thing. So we're trying to put something in place so there are, say, three or four people who are the go-to people on presentation skills. And if you want to get better at that thing, then we will pair you up with one of those people, and they will coach you through that, and they will give you some training and that kind of thing. I have 5 direct reports in my team. They manage everyone else. So I manage 5 people. To some extent, there's some mentorship there. I kind of shy away from the word quite a lot of the time, to be honest. I think it's an odd thing, and it's very easy to get confused between mentorship and coaching and training. And I'm sure I've already done it about 3 times in this recording. But yeah, I am coaching 5 people to eventually take my job, I suppose. And they are coaching roughly 5 people each to either take their job or to go down a different route, because we have 2 different routes within the team. We have individual contributor roles and we have people manager roles, and not everybody is suited to one or the other. So we don't want to be a team where you have to be a manager to be promoted and to be successful. So yeah, everyone is coaching the people that they manage at the same time as managing them. We're not a team where your manager is the person who tells you what work you're doing this week and expects a report at the end of it. It's somebody who talks to you about your career and what you want to do with that career and how we can help you get there. And do you want to manage people, or do you want to be the prototyping genius, or, you know, the person who is the go-to person for diary studies in the company? Or do you want to be the CEO of your own company one day? Well, what kind of skills can we teach you while you're here that will really have no particular bearing on your job directly here, but will give you better leadership skills and will make you happier in your job right now until you become a CEO of some fancy company eventually?
Thank you, Andy. That's pretty good. So last time when you were talking about business knowledge, I believe that you know, this is something that every UX should have. But I wonder whether you can tell us more about situations in which you were let down by the lack of that knowledge at the beginning of your career?
Yeah, there's plenty of them that spring to mind. I can think of a few instances in the company I used to work for, where Vodtech also worked, where certainly plenty of instances where I was only really concerned with the user experience. And that's your job, but it was to the detriment of anyone else's challenges. So there's a limit, obviously, to how much you can bend. Your job is to champion the user, the customer, to make sure that they get the best possible experience, but nothing is ever perfect. And if the budget just isn't there, then it just isn't there. Or if the person who is charged with delivering this project from the client's point of view, for instance, if they are getting leaned on by their chief executive or their manager or what have you to just get it done, then they are incentivized to help deliver a project rather than deliver an experience or an outcome there. And I don't think I always was very good at realizing those challenges and just got quite sulky about it sometimes. And also, I don't think I was always good enough at asking the right questions, like we were talking about earlier, of, okay, what are your challenges and how can we help in a way that champions the customer, but also gets you what you need for your boss or what have you? Because we would like to think that everyone does everything for the right reasons all the time, but we don't. So it's a very privileged idea that everyone can just do the best possible thing every time and no one's scared of losing their job because their manager puts pressure on them to deliver something. So how could we work together as allies to mix the best of both worlds, I suppose? So that was one. And there are plenty of opportunities wasted, I suppose. Another one is designers, and this is not just designers, but all sorts of people who they always talk about a seat at the table. I want a seat at the table. Why doesn't design have a seat at the table? Why doesn't UX have a seat at the table? But the problem is, if you get to the table, you're going to have to keep up. And most of the people at the table are not designers, and they're some of them really don't care what you do and don't see the value in it. So how are you going to talk their language about what you do so that they don't see you as the annoying, arty-farty designer stereotype and they see you as somebody who knows what they're talking about and is worth listening to, even if they're talking about something that you don't 100% understand or you think you don't? People think that design is this highfalutin thing that you... Oh, I'm not creative, is what people say all the time. And obviously everyone's creative, but people say that they don't understand design, for instance, and they do to some extent. They just have been sworn off it for a number of reasons. So yeah, I think that's another one where I definitely found myself in the room that I've campaigned so hard to get into and then not really been able to hold my own in that room and therefore been kind of dismissed. And if you do that once and it doesn't work out, you might get another try at it, but you do it twice and you're probably not going to get asked to come into the room in the first place after that.
Okay, so these skills, they come to person over time, obviously. When they start working somewhere at some company, you know, they are exposed to colleagues from different departments, different projects, they can gradually learn that. But how a person who's just starting up or looking for the first employment can prove that they do understand a little bit of that language, within reason, of course?
So I think what you probably want to do, let's say you're going for a job interview at a company and it's your first UX job. And the first thing that you can do in terms of the business is you can try and understand as much about the business as it's portrayed to the outside world as you possibly can. So that's not really necessarily talking the language of business, but you should know what the service or the product or whatever it is that the company is offering. You should know as much as you possibly can about that. You should understand, are they the number one product in the market? Do they have major competitors? Those kind of things. Like, you're now talking business language on a very basic level that a lot of UX people would never think to ask in an interview. We've had people interview for us that have never really looked beyond the front page of our website. And I think that sometimes UX people and designers and what have you think it's not their job, it's not important to their job, but it absolutely is. You know, you're going to make better decisions by understanding the market that you're working within, the product that you work on, and any other factors. I think that another thing you can do is, it, especially if you're working in a, if you're applying to, say, a small company, if you were going to be the only designer, or you were going to be one of maybe a couple of people, if you're going to talk to the founder of a company or you know, just a hiring manager that's not a designer or what have you, if you can explain to them what your design skills will bring to their business, that's much, much more powerful than just saying, well, you know, design is good, Apple's good, and they do design, so, you know, it's fine. I'll do design for you, which Wojtek's smiling, but like, I have been in interviews that are not that far away from that level of discourse. So let's say you go for a job interview at a three-person startup. You're the founder and the CEO of this three people isn't particularly interested, quite possibly, in design. They know they need a designer, but they're not entirely sure why a lot of the time. So are you going to say, well, I'm a really good designer? Or are you going to say, I'm a really good designer and what that brings to your business is, and then tell them? That's a hugely, hugely powerful thing, especially for somebody who doesn't have huge amounts of experience as a designer, just understanding what you can do to bring value to that company. Because I think there's an awful lot of companies out there who still think of design as, or UX or what have you, as a thing that they need, a thing they've been told by articles in Forbes magazine that they need and that is valuable, but they don't fully understand why it's valuable and what it can bring to the table. So being able to think ahead of, say, a job interview of, what is this product? What are the potential issues with it that you can see from the outside? What could a better user experience bring? What do revenues look like? If you're talking about a private company, is this like a company that hasn't made any money yet? Or is it a company that's suddenly losing money when they weren't before? And sometimes that stuff's hard to tell from the outside, but being able to talk about what you would bring to that company is something that I don't think traditionally UX people have always been great at.
That's really useful. Thank you very much. Okay, so I just wanted to ask you a final short question, really. It's to do with things that people put in their portfolios. Quite a few people who listened to our first episode got in touch with me saying that it's all good and it's all nice to be able to show something nice in the portfolio. And it could be, yes, indeed, their cousin's dance school or, you know, something like that, if they have a cousin who actually, you know, is looking for something like this. But many of those who are junior UX designers already employed somewhere say that they can't really share any confidential data in their portfolios because, you know, very often NDAs, non-disclosure agreements, are signed in between the company and the designer, for instance, and that prevents them from even sometimes like referring to work. How about, you know, showing things? And if somebody is a junior, then it might happen that they don't really have too many other things to show and they don't do any outside work outside of work hours because they just, you know, they're busy at work and coming back home tired. So I wonder whether you can tell us what a junior UX or a person who's working on the portfolio could do in order to get around that problem.
Yeah, that's a tough one. We've definitely had plenty of people apply to us who basically all their work is under NDA, and that is tough. I think what I've seen in the past that's worked well, it probably depends what kind of NDA. I wouldn't like to say too much about this, but there are some people who work for companies or organizations. We've had somebody who worked for some kind of military contractor, I believe, or something, maybe not military, but some kind of like very, very top secret. That person literally couldn't refer to anything they'd ever done, apart from the fact that they worked there. And even then, that was probably pushing it a little bit, and that was very complicated. But then there are other people who have NDAs in that they've been asked never to talk about their work publicly, and those people are happy to get on a Zoom call and talk through the work. They just can't send you the work. Now, I don't know if that applies to their NDA or not, but that's a question I don't ask too much around. I think if you really can't, I think one of the things I've seen work well is a case study where all the names and all the screens were redacted or blurred or what have you, where the process was very clear that they had followed, but the end result was not. We've certainly seen that work quite well in that it gives you enough to take them through to maybe give them like a quick exercise to do or something else to show how good the work is. But I think if you could show a really good process, you're halfway there already, and the work is probably of quite a good quality if somebody can articulate that process. So I would try that. I totally understand that work outside of work is incredibly difficult for a lot of people, especially if you're changing careers, if you've got kids, if you've got caring responsibilities, if you've got, you know, just life in general. So that is very, very difficult. Obviously, trying to carve out tiny amounts of time over weeks and weeks is one way to do it, to do some kind of freelance project or pro bono project or something. I think trying to get organized as soon as you possibly can is extremely useful. I think that I've seen people use the projects that they've done during their training. So if you're a career changer and you go through, say, a UX kind of career changers course, you will do obviously exercises, and I've seen people use those as portfolios. And the expectation of somebody who's very junior is not that high in terms of the amount of projects or anything like that. I would rather see one good case study than 10 like half done case studies or just 10 pictures of websites. It's not that useful. You write me one case study. I spoke to someone who Wojtek knows, actually, who you, talking of what we were talking about earlier, you passed my name along to him, and I sat down and looked at his portfolio one day, and it was literally one case study, and it was extremely good. And that in itself is worth more than, you know, five mediocre projects with not enough information in them. So there's just trying to carve out that time, you know, bit by bit, hour by hour. Can you do it on your lunch break? And even then, that's very, very difficult for people. Talk to, if it's a junior position, or if it's a position that you have a possibility of getting, you know, you're not applying for a senior UX designer position or what have you, talk to the person in charge, the hiring manager, whether that's somebody from recruitment or it's, you know, design manager or what have you, and say, and explain the situation and write them a nice note that says, I've looked at your company. I'm excited about these aspects of it. I think I could really add something here. Unfortunately, my situation is that I don't have any work that I can use. It's all under NDA. Is there anything that we can work out here? And if I got that, and we've seen similar things before, if I got that, I would say, okay, what can you show me? Okay, this is enough to make me think you have something here. Here's an exercise to do. Go away and, you know, have you got time to do this over the next 3 weeks, let's say? You know, 4 hours of work, or I don't know. It's difficult. The company culture to creative solutions that aren't just the same every time, then some other people do. You know, if you're changing careers and you've had a career in some other industry and you've got, you know, you're balancing two kids and a family and a, you know, something else, and or you're, you know, you volunteer every evening in a somewhere or something like that. That experience and that cultural addition is likely to be just as important as your UX skills.
I would like that to be true. I mean, I think it is true, but I also know that the way you're looking at it is really quite mature and understanding. And I think that very often people struggle a lot hearing back from companies that look for, you know, UX designer that really is a UI designer with 2 years of experience already, even if they don't have any. Very strong visual design skills, even if they don't have any, because they are not a visual designer, and so on and so on. But that's a matter of company UX maturity, and in many places, it's just not quite there yet. It's still a very young and very active, vibrant, emerging market after, you know, those few years. And I think that will change for better in time. Hopefully, we'll have more people like you, Andy, and less of the ones who dismiss people just because they don't have, you know, a beautiful set of screens on Dribbble.
I think those people should be dismissed. No, I'm just kidding.
Sure, yeah. Thank you very much for talking to me again and for taking the time. And I'm going to let you know how do people like the show so far. The response has been quite good. So let's hope it's not the last time we have a chat. Thank you very much. Have a great evening.
Thank you. Bye.
So this is it. Thank you very much for listening. I hope you enjoyed it. We're gonna have another podcast soon, of course with a different person this time. If you have any comments or questions or ideas, simply send them to me. Observe UX Booster and have a great day. See you later.